Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
God, would you use me today, God, to speak to us, Lord, around how we can continue to be generous and what this looks like in our life, Lord. We thank you, God, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Steph, and I am one of the leaders here at Every Nation Logan. Thank you all so much for joining us today, and I know that we're maybe small in numbers today, but I really believe that God is wanting to speak to each and every one of us here about something from His, that comes directly from His Word. I have the pleasure today to speak about generosity and the impact that this has, not just on our lives, but the lives of people around us. And the title of my message today to get us into things is called Filling the Storehouse. Filling the Storehouse. Now, the part of scripture that Levi had shared with us talks about giving back to God. And in Malachi here, we see that there are so many different ways that the people of Israel at this point in time were robbing from God. And robbing sounds like a pretty harsh word, right? Anyone in here a thief? Hopefully not. But it can come across as quite a confrontational type of word. But I think beyond that, it's seeing the heart behind what generosity looks like and how we can actually do that in a way that honors God. So think about the last time you gave sacrificially or the last time that you gave to someone. How did you feel? Anyone feel really good? Yeah? It feels nice to give. But beyond that, there's so much more that giving does in terms of being able to impact those people around us. And yes, giving does make us feel good and it does impact those around us. But that's because we were designed to be a people who give. When we look at what and who God is, we see that it is in His nature to give. He is the picture of what giving looks like. And we'll talk a little bit more about that before, but it's good to know that we are designed to give. We're not designed to store things up for ourselves or to store things up in our own storehouse. So what does this look like for us? What does giving look like? And I know that this term gets thrown around a lot. How do we give? Is it our tithe? Is it our talents? Is it the things that God has given us that, you know, even time to spend with people and to be in relationship with others? The first thing I wanted to touch on is first fruits. What do we think of when we think of first fruits? I think of the best. You think about first fruits. I mean, fruits good. Fruits are good, and the first of them. So when we look back in the Old Testament, we would see that a lot of people, the currency that they had was in chickens and grapes and all of these fun things. And I'm looking at Sui because I'm thinking of Stardew Valley, a game that we like to play, where you harvest crops and you become a farmer, right? Which is, I think that's fun. You may not want to be a farmer, but that's okay. I want to be a farmer on a game. But what we're looking at here is the first fruits. The best of the best, the very first ones that have come and brought forth fruit on a vine, or the best chickens, or the best cattle. And this was the currency that they were dealing with in these times. And so Malachi 3, 8 to 10 says, "Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and contributions? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." And Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops." So, who here's got chickens? That's a change. What are you guys going to give? So obviously, we're in a time where we don't have chickens as currency, okay? We're in a time where we receive income, we have jobs, we work for money, we may get money on the side from our side hustle. So tithes are the first tenth of all that we have. We which is all about income. And you can even stretch this to say that this is also our time and our talents as well. So we honor God with our tithes. And it can seem somewhat, I guess the mentality that people in our world today have is that giving away part of what we earn when things are so tough can be difficult, right? How many people know people within their workplaces that tithe who are not Christians, you know, or that give away very generously? It's not a concept that the world really thinks of. You know, when we think about how we give to others, it might be a small post-it note, which is an act of kindness, which is really nice. Or paying for someone's coffee. I mean, those things are nice too. But God is not looking for us to give just the leftover things that we have. He's calling us to give us the very best of the best that he has given to us. And that's how we honor him. First fruit. So the Hebrew word for first fruit is bikurim. And this is literally translated to promise to come. Now, this is not the reason why we tithe. And remember, our tithe is 10% of whatever we have, our first 10. And the Israelites saw this first fruits that they had given, that they would give to God, as an investment into their future. God told them that if they brought the first fruits to him, he would bless all that come after. And again, this is not why we tithe, but we can see that there is a promise when we invest the first of what we have been given back into the kingdom of God, that there will be rewards that are reaped. It's giving God the best of what we have, not just our forgotten leftovers. And we see, even in Malachi, the scriptures before this share that the people at the time were in such a state that they were bringing their leftovers. They brought the defiled animals, the animals that were weak and not worthy of sacrifice. And they were bringing these to the altar of God. And for us, that might look like our loose change. That might look like buying everything else that we want first and then giving God just the remnants of what we have. Maybe if I have money left over at the end of this week, then I'll give to God. That was their mentality. But who knows that when we prioritize God, when we are obedient and grateful, that we are honoring him in our giving. I wanted to share a story about my journey with tithing and giving. And I like to think that I'm a pretty generous person. But there was a period in my life where I found it very difficult to tithe and to give. You see, I'd grown up in a family where, you know, we were poor, thankfully. We had money, but my parents worked really, really, really hard for that money. They worked hard for it, and they didn't really... I guess we had this mindset as a family that it's just me and my own. It's just us. Let's work really hard, but we're going to store that up for us so that we can live a life that we want to live and that we've got enough. And so growing up, I had this mentality as well. I started working really young and tried to hoard up and store up things for myself. And as part of that, you know, I always felt like, you know, I worked really hard for it, it belonged to me. And this is before I knew Christ, but even as I knew Christ, this was still a challenge because this mindset had been in my spirit for that whole time. And yes, we have jobs, and yes, we work hard for our money, but who gives us these opportunities? It's God, right? And so I always focused on money. Do I have enough money to pay this bill? Do I have enough money to do what I want? Everything in my mind was racing and focused on money and not having enough. Anyone here ever felt like, I don't have enough? Maybe not right now, but maybe you've been in that place. I don't have enough. It's not enough. And so this was my mentality. It became very difficult to part with my money. But in saying that, I was happy to part with it, you know, online shopping, going out with friends and enjoying a really nice dinner. I was happy to part with it in that way. But when it came to Am I giving to God? That was a whole other story. It's like, but God, I worked so hard for this. You want to take 10% of this? Do you even know how much I earn? Have you looked at my bank account? I also sometimes felt that my contributions in the church made up for the money that I wasn't giving. And this is just being honest. I felt like, yes, I would spend my time in church. I would invest my time. I would invest my talents. I'm happy to serve. I'll be the first person to put my hand up and say, yep, I'm there. I'm all good. I'm happy to serve. But there was a time where I felt that was enough and that I didn't have to give because I was so generous in other elements of my life. There were also times where I really felt like, you know what, I'll just wait until I have more. And maybe you're in a position now where you're like, God, I really don't own that much. What I have right now is this right here, this little amount which just gets me by. I'll just wait till I get that promotion. I'll just wait till I climb the corporate ladder or I get that other opportunity or I start up my side hustle. I've been there. I felt like that. Like, God, you see this? You know what? In a year, I'll be making this and then I will give to you. And you know what happened then? I just spent more money. We find ways to spend it on things that don't matter in the grand scheme of things. I'm only sharing this because I know that I'm probably not the only one. Or maybe I am and, you know, you can just laugh at me, which is fine. So, I was in a position where my head understood these principles of tithing. I understood what this meant. But I wasn't really, my heart wasn't convinced. I was still wanting to hold all of this for myself. But there was a time where I really wanted to challenge myself to give. And it's hard, right? For those of you who have gone from spending all of your money to giving, it's such a mindset change. And it's hard. It takes time to develop the practice and the habit. There were times when you see your bank balance and you still have to make the decision to tithe, or you've got this big bill that's coming up. And I know this stuff is real right now, yeah? There's a recession looming, wages are not increasing, everything else is increasing. It's tough, it's tough. And I wouldn't blame you for thinking that, man, do I press it, you know? Libby and I always laugh that, you know, sometimes it's like, when you press the send button on your bank transfer, you're like, no! But God blesses this and He is so honored when we give. You know, Levi had a similar mentality growing up as well, and his family actually had very little. I hope you don't mind me sharing a bit of your story, but we both had, I didn't ask him about this. But we had similar mentalities, and his was because his family actually did have very little. But again, parents worked very hard, felt like needed to, you know, store up and work things up so that we had enough to survive. And so when we got married, we've got two people with the same mentality coming together. Oh my goodness. So again, we're trying to encourage one another and make sure that even as husband and wife, that we're coming together and making these decisions for God's kingdom. That we are prioritizing God in our finances and the way that we give as well. And you know what, as a result of that, we have been blessed. You know, there has, as many a time as I have sat there worried and Libby saying, it's going to be fine, I'm still like, oh my gosh, God, we don't have enough. There are still moments when we have always had enough. We've never been, you know, without anything that we've needed. God has always provided. And you know, we are blessed, and I know that there are difficult situations, maybe even in this room right now. But God will honor when you give to Him back what is rightfully His. Knowing that we are building is not just for us, but also for generations to come. And I wanted to share, especially with the parents here in this room, but not even just the parents, you know, anyone that's got people around them, the way that you give is going to have an impact on the next generations. Your children will see the way that you give. Whether that's money or time or your talents, they're going to see how you sow into the kingdom of God, and they're going to see what you're building. And that's going to have a ripple effect. Just the way that Libby and my parents thought and their mindsets, it's not bad because they don't know any other different way. But we know that God honors this. And if we want to see transformational change in terms of your next generation growing up and also being good stewards of what God has given them, this is the time to start now. It starts with us. It starts with us. So the next point that I wanted to share is building. Building. So we were farming like 2 seconds ago. Now we're going to move into building. So building, what does building mean? So we're going to look at Haggai and a little bit of context to this particular scripture just before this part of scripture that I'm going to read to you. But it says, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, and give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on your clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Anyone ever felt like that? You get your, you know, you get your wage into your bank account, and then all of a sudden next day it's all gone. You're like, where did it go? Oh my gosh. All right, noodles for the rest of the week, all right? We can see here that the people, you know, were in a position where, where they didn't feel like they had enough. And you know why? There was a point where there was celebration. They were building the temple. They were building a temple. And they only got to building the foundation. So they built the foundation. Everyone's like, this is amazing. This is so great. They were rejoicing and celebrating at the completion of the foundation. But then they stopped. They stopped building the temple. And they stopped building it for 15 years. So they were kind of like, you know what? We got the foundation done. We're good. And then they got distracted by other things that were happening. They got caught up in their own lives. And you can see here, it says, you know, isn't it time for you yourselves to be living in paneled housing? Now, paneled housing might seem a bit weird. It's like, oh no, I want a really nice rendered wall or whatever. Paneled housing back in those days, the paneling that they would actually use in the wood was cedar, which was aligned with like royalty. And so this was royal wood as such. So it was, they were usually connected with royal dwellings, which had this cedar paneling. So what they were doing, instead of using this paneling to build a temple, they've taken it home and started building their own homes. That must be nice. You know, they're like, oh, this wood, you know, nobody's going to need it. And they started to build up their own houses with this panel wood, building up their own temples that don't worship God, but were for me and my own family. So you can see here the rest of Haggai. And Haggai means feast, by the way. So he was a prophet. And you know, who wants a feast? When we think of feast, we think of abundance and we think of provision and we think of much rather than not enough. Yeah. So Haggai says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little, and when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. What are we doing, family? Are we busying ourselves with the building of our own houses? The way that we build should be built so that he can take pleasure in what is being built, so that he may be glorified. Does your life right now glorify God with how you are using your time and your resources and your money? Are we so focused on building up our own empire that we forget about the house of God and what God wants us to do? You know, when we give, we're contributing to the kingdom of God. And that's just not giving through our tithes. It might be through offerings or even just giving to others, being generous to those around us. We're contributing to the growth of his kingdom. The money that's brought in to this house goes towards outreach opportunities so that we can see people and hear come to know who Jesus is. It provides resources to share the gospel and continues missionary work, which I know that each one of us would be passionate about and would say that we're passionate about, but is that reflected in the way that we're giving in the house? God can build his church alone. We don't need to be a part of it, but he invites us to be a part of it, family. He gives us the opportunity to give back and to do the things that he's called us to do. So what are we building? Are we building up our own empires or families in wealth? Or are we building the house of God? When we build up for ourselves, we end up looking in many places and relying on things to help us continue to build our wealth. This might be putting money in the pokies to try and double up my earnings or my income because I don't have enough. It might be working that extra job that really robs me of my time and my family and building the kingdom of God. It could even be prioritizing just efforts to get more money, more resources over taking time to spend investing in the life of somebody else. Taking out a loan for something that we really don't need. I only say these because these are all examples of how I have compromised and felt like I didn't have enough. So God, I need other ways to bring in more. I need more. I don't have enough. But God is telling us today that he is more than enough. He provides more than enough and some so that we can be generous. And I just love as well, there is a bit of a connection. This is just me geeking out a little bit. But generosity and generational, the root words for this come from the word gene. And so you see generosity and generational. And this root word means to give birth or to produce. And what I took away from this, it means to multiply. When we are generous, there is multiplication of our resources to be able to further the kingdom, but also multiplication of resources in our own life. And generational, we see again that as we build our lives around what God is calling us to build it around, we will see multiplication of blessing in the lives of the children and the next generation to come. Okay. Blessing. Who wants to be blessed? Who is blessed? Yes, who? I don't know anyone that's like, no, you can keep your blessing. That's right. I don't know anybody who's like that, okay? We all want to receive blessing, and that is not the reason why we give. That is not the reason why we take time with someone. It's not for that, right? It's a nice little added effect, added little outcome. But we see in Malachi, and we're going to go back to Malachi 3, verses 10 to 12. And it says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Who loves going to somebody's house and they got food in the house? It's so good. Don't come to my house, you don't have food in the house. People love it when there's food in the house, right? When there's plenty. It's like when you go in your mom's cupboard, she's got every spice that you can imagine. You're like, I just got salt and pepper. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven, and this could even be translated to the floodgates of heaven. Floodgates of heaven. And pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. Until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed. We live in a blessed nation, family. We're already called blessed, but God wants to give us that double portion so that we can be a blessing. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. For you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. We see here, and just as I mentioned before, in Malachi, the people had doubted God's love, and they didn't trust him any longer. They lost hope, which caused them to give these lame and defiled animals the very worst of their crops and kept the best for themselves. When we bring the full tithe, or we bring our full selves, this isn't just money. This is every part of our being. I love in the intro to worship video that it showed that, you know, God sacrificed for us. And how do we respond? We respond by bringing our full selves into the kingdom of God. In every way, we bring everything that we have, every part of us, not just our money or our time or our talents. It's everything. We bring ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. God only wants the best. He wants the best of you. He wants the best of the resources that he's given you. And he's already given us the best. We already have the best. So why not give back to him? He will pour down blessing upon us and we will be prosperous. We will be prosperous. He will open the floodgates of heaven. I love that. Open the floodgates of heaven. And like I said before, I picked water, right? So water, you can imagine gushing water, but that's just abundant provision that God wants to bless us with. He wants to bless us with abundant provision. We see in Jeremiah, it says, But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find its welfare. And as we're a blessing family, it's not just here in this house. It's to the people who are out in our communities. It's to the people who are in our families, who are in our workplace, in our schools, wherever we might be situated. We're called to be a blessing in the city. We're called to seek the welfare of the city and the people around us. And I don't know, there was probably a couple of us that battle cry on Wednesday night where we gathered together to pray for our city. And it was amazing. But in those moments, we see that there's still so many opportunities in our community to give back. There is so much need still left in our communities. People who don't have homes, people who actually don't have enough. And we are called to be a people who have enough, who are able to give, to be a blessing to those around us. Whether it's the person who's asking for a few dollars on the side of the road, or somebody who doesn't have a home, how can we be a blessing to those people around us? And as we do this, we find our welfare here in the house of the Lord, and we're called to go out and to serve and to bless others and to be generous to them. But why we do this? Why do we do all of this? It's because God has given to us. And this is where I wanted to land the plane tonight, this afternoon. God has already given so much to us. Like I said, he is the picture of what generosity looks like. God has already given so much to us. He sent his son as a sacrifice for us. Here we are, maybe hesitant to part with our 10%, or hesitant to part with our time. If I really likes you, I could have still been in bed this morning. You know, whatever that looks like, God gave his one and only son for us, so that we might have relationship, but so that we might be taken care of. That we might be able to be in relationship with him. You know, God gives us physical provision here in the natural, right? We have income, we have things that we need, we have clothes, we have food, we have what we need. But in addition to this provision, the ultimate king who rules the universe, God has been merciful in storing up goodness for those who have faith. And while we might look at our storehouse as being our income, our home, our car, our family, whatever it is, when we look at what God's storehouse looks like, yes, there's finances. But God has stored up goodness for those who have faith in him. He didn't have to offer us such grace and kindness, but he did. He did by sending his son. And Christ took the punishment for our sins, as we know, rose to life to bring salvation to all who believe. And the treasures of the Lord's storehouse are not gold or costly goods, but provision, care, and spiritual blessings. When we're trusting in God, in him, we are rich in spiritual abundance and the goodness of Jesus. That's what we get in return. And sometimes we may not feel like God is good, or we may feel like the situation we're in is dire, and we can't see God's goodness or His mercy in it. But I would encourage you today, family, that He's there. He gives us all that we need and will provide in every situation. You will never be in lack. And if you are, there are people around you who are blessed, who will be a blessing. God is the ruler of the universe. He knows your situation. So have hope that He will come through. He is a good God. Generosity teaches us to trust God. And we see that when we don't have that trust, we feel like He's not enough. But generosity, when we give and we give, whatever that looks like, it teaches us to trust Him, that He is good on His word. The Bible reminds us that life on earth is uncertain and nothing is guaranteed. But when we put our hope in God and God's provision, we can rest assured that He will provide for our needs, family. Giving to others helps us tangibly practice trusting God rather than our riches or our belongings. So to wrap it up, I really wanted to take some time to pray for us before we get into any sort of discussion. And there are a couple of things that I really wanted to pray for today. Three things, in fact. I wanted to pray for provision. I wanted to pray for those who feel like they don't have enough right now and who may actually have limited resources. I want to pray for provision. I also want to pray for financial breakthrough, for a change in our mindset around how we steward our resources and the things that we have. And I also want to pray for a generosity, a generous heart to come forth as well. So can I just ask everyone to bow your heads, close your eyes, and we're just going to pray. And if this really speaks to you, you know, reach out your hands and just lift your hands to God and take some time to surrender as I pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord God, I thank you, Jesus. And want to pray, God, for each and every single person in this place who needs provision in this season, God. Lord, we thank you that you are our Father, you are our Lord and our provider. You are faithful to who you are and to all you say. We gratefully acknowledge your faithful provision in our lives, God. We remember how you've provided for us, God, in the past. And we ask that you would meet the needs of every single person in this room, God. Whatever they need, whether that's financial, emotional, physical, and spiritual, God, that each and every single person here, Lord, would never be in lack. We trust, God, that you are good and that you provide all that we need in every situation, God. And we pray for just a mighty move of your power, God, that you would fill bank accounts, Lord. You would bring food and resources as needed, God. Lord, that you would make the impossible possible, Lord. We declare that in Jesus' name today, Lord. And I thank you, God, that every person here, God, would not fear that they don't have enough, Lord, but know that they are taken care of by you, God. So we thank you, Jesus, for those who are in need, God, and pray for your provision in Jesus' name. God, we pray for financial breakthrough, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you have entrusted us to manage and steward our finances, God, with wisdom and diligence. Help each and every single one of us, God, grow in wisdom as we seek to honor you, God, through our finances, through our giftings, our talents, God, through our time, and any other resource, God, that we have. Thank you, Lord, you would help us budget, Lord, and steward our money well, God. Show us, Lord, what it means to be, God, one who stewards the resources that you have given to us, God, faithfully, not just for us, but for future generations to come, God. We thank you, Jesus, that there would be breakthrough in the way, God, that we see our money and our resources Thank you, Jesus, that you would show us that you are good, that you are merciful, that what we have is to bless others, God. Pray, God, for that heart transformation, Lord. That it wouldn't just be our mind, God, but our heart transformation as well. Allow us to be diligent in stewarding what you have given us, to bring powerful financial breakthrough in our lives, God. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are even developing within us a heart of generosity. God, we thank you that you know what it means to give all, God. You know what it means to give all. And may your spirit of generosity flood over this place today. Let us be creative in what we view as plenty, God. And help us to find ways to offer these things which we have in service to you and your kingdom, God. Give us opportunities to bless others from the gifts you have given us. We thank you, Jesus, for the heart of every single person in this room, Lord. And whether it's been easy to give or difficult to give, Lord, I thank you, God, that you are doing a work within us, Lord. That it is not about us, God, but that really we look to you, God, and we honor you and glorify you in all that we do. Lord, generosity is not just about our money, God, or the things that we have, but it's our whole being, Lord. And I thank you that being generous with who we are, who you've created us to be, Lord, that we would give all of that back to you, God, in worship, Lord. So what are the areas, God, that you have spoken to us about today, Lord? Areas and opportunities for our hearts to be changed, Lord, for a tweak in our budgeting, God, whatever has come, Lord, and been brought forth, Lord, from what you have shared today, God, that you would show us how we can be good stewards of those things and how we walk out those things within the rest of the week. We love you, God, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.